Well, good evening. It's always a privilege for me to talk to anyone in the presence of our Lord exposing the Blessed Sacrament. So there was a man in the lobby at CSS Friday. We have exposition every Friday. And he's a homeless man, and this man speaks Spanish, and I know a little bit of Spanish, enough to get by. So I started talking in Spanish, and I asked him, have you been, because he goes into the chapel and prays. I've taken him to the chapel to pray, and I said, have you been in the chapel to pray? And he said, yeah, I've been in there. He was just in there praying, and then all of a sudden I hear over here this guy from Iraq. He's a Muslim guy. Hola. Hola. And I said, hola, ¿cómo está? He starts talking to me in Spanish. I know it's not his primary language. He says, well, I'm from Iraq, and I know a little Spanish and know a little English. So, very unusual to get a convert from Islam, more common from women, but not very common for men, and you can be... In Muslim countries, you get put to death for proselytizing and converting. And so I said, you want to see something beautiful? That's always one of my lines. Want to see something beautiful? And who doesn't? Yeah. I said, you know, in this room over here, some 85-year-old guy designed it, did it. He's dead now, but yeah. So I take him in there, and it's exposition. So he looks at the monstrance, and I tell this guy, there's Jesus Christ. There he is. And he loves you. And he said, you know, I've been doing some reading about all this. But I said, there he is. That's Jesus right there. And he loves you. Isn't that what we're to do is... plant seeds. I'm not saying I tell all these stories. I'm not the best at it. I just try to plant seeds. And if something happens with this man, he has to do it. All we can do is plant seeds. We're farmers. Somebody else harvests. And when somebody knocks on the rectory, hey, Father, I want to sign up for RCIA. I want to become a Catholic. Somebody planted a seed long time ago. And then somebody else planted a seed and somebody fertilized it and watered it. And Father Benedict Rochelle on this tape, not too many years ago, talked about adoration of the Blessed Sacrament. If you really want to get to know Jesus Christ, you have to spend time with him. Where is he? In the sacrament, completely present. Not just in his divinity, but his humanity. And so I really encourage you in this element of perseverance in prayer to at least have 1 hour where you spend with Jesus Christ in adoration a week. And probably everyone here does a holy hour each week. Now, if you don't, why not? What do you do during an hour? I like to split it up in 20 minutes at contemplative prayer, as Father Groeschel mentioned about it. It's a gift, but it requires quiet time, where basically, if you boil it down, distill it down, our Lord takes over our soul, and it's called a number of things, the prayer of quiet, infused prayer. There's nothing, no technique to get it. It's what God gives. It's a gift, but you have to be present and quiet. Now, you can develop contemplative prayer in your living room in an easy chair with a cup of joe early in the morning, but the best place is with Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. And then 20 minutes where, say, the rosary, another 20 minutes where you may read the scriptures or some lives of the saint, but it's essential when you spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament, not to, and you come in, kneel down, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and I believe in God, the Father, mighty creator of heaven and earth, Jesus Christ, the only Son, the Lord, and then you get your Bible out, and then you read something, you know, you do say, hey, did you say hello? Did you say I love you? You know, our Lord wants that quiet, intimate communion with Him. It's like, otherwise it's like going to Grandma's for Thanksgiving. And she's there at the door. And she wants to embrace you. And you go walk past her and sit down and start eating. I want that drumstick, baby. And give me some of that potatoes, taters, and dressing. And, hey, aren't you going to say hi or give me a kiss? Or no, I'm here for, you know, and you ignore her. Well, so 20 minutes, we're just, and every day, even if those days that we're not making holy hour, spend part of that day in just quiet time. And I hope you say the rosary, but that's not contemplative. I mean, there's a meditative component to the rosary and a discursive component of the rosary, but this contemplative prayer and those two books that I mentioned by Father Donald Hagner are just jewels. And there's so much in them about developing this habit of contemplative prayer. But adoration of the Blessed Sacrament is also very, very important. This next essential characteristic to possess in order to be open to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, the fullness of the Holy Spirit is, and this is no accident, no surprise, obedience. And this is one I listed next. And it makes perfect sense, because if we are truly humble and are adherent, attached to God in prayer, in the sacraments, and trust Him, have great trust in Him, it only makes sense that we'll be obedient to Him. And not from a servile fear, gee, I don't want to go to hell, so that's why I'm going to go to Mass on Sundays, and that's why I'm not going to commit this mortal sin, because I don't want to go to hell. No, but from the proper fear of the Lord. And this might help understanding proper fear of the Lord. I heard some young man many years ago say, even if I thought it was okay to live with my girlfriend before marriage, to cohabitate, even if I thought it was okay, I would never do it, because I don't want to hurt my mom and dad. I don't want to offend my parents. That's fear of the Lord. Bishop Ruskowitz is my spiritual grandfather, and Bishop Connolly is my spiritual father. I don't think I ever said, maybe I did Bishop Ruskowitz's face, hey, you're my spiritual grandfather. Of course, he's getting up there, you know. He's the kind of guy that has a heart attack and then calls 911 and he's in the driver with his suitcase. Where's the patient? Me? Just waiting for you. Fear of the Lord would be, if I do something out of line, and the same thing with Bishop Connolly too, and I really learned fear of the Lord with my relationship with Bishop Ruskowitz, and this, it's the same thing with Bishop Connolly, but I really learned it for the first time with Bishop Ruskowitz, that he's a good, strong bishop, and he just loves his priests. And every time I would call, if he wasn't on the phone, he'd take my call. I need to talk to you about something. If you didn't have an appointment, come right in. I mean, he just loves his priest, open to his priest. But if you step out of line, your head's going to roll down Sheridan Boulevard, and you know you know what I mean. But if you love him as your spiritual father, one of the reasons you don't want to step on a line is because you don't want to offend him, because you love him. Just like that young man who, even if I thought it was okay to live with my girlfriend, I would never do that. I don't want to hurt my mom and dad. I don't want to hurt my bishop. I don't want to sin because I don't want to offend my Father in heaven, and I don't want to increase the pain of our Lord and his passion. So obedience is, we want to be obedient out of love of God. When we go to confession, we confess our sins. Bless me, Father, for I've sinned. I'm a bank robber, and I just robbed the First National. And are you sorry? Yeah, I suppose. Are you going to stop robbing banks? Heck no, I got the Second National. I'm going to do that one next week. Purpose of amendment. But it all done for love of God and proper fear of the Lord, not wanting to offend. And it flows from humility, adherence with God in prayer, trust, and then humility. Is a pride person going to obey? It all starts with pride. That's why I listed that first. Remember this passage. I mentioned it a couple times. Acts 5:32. Everyone said, well, the Holy Spirit inspired me and I, you know, Holy. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. Father Philippe said, the more we desire to do God's will in our lives, the more we will receive the grace to obey him. There's freedom in obedience. And obedience for us priests is pretty easy. All it is whatever the bishop tells me to do. So if he sends me to wherever, and there's not a bad assignment, but whatever it is, I know that's what God wants me to do. It's expressed through my bishop. Remember this scene in Gethsemane, the night Jesus was arrested. Now, I don't want to shock you. You know this is true. But putting it this way is kind of provocative. Not provocative, but did you know that Jesus Christ did not feel like suffering and dying for you? He didn't feel like suffering and dying for you or me. You better believe he didn't feel like doing it. He got on his knees and he said to his Father, oh, if this cup could pass, is there another way? But not my will, but yours be done. And he didn't say it once, he said it multiple times. If this cup could pass, and he probably said it many, 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 many times in his mind, in his intellect, as a quiet prayer to his Father, and verbalized it three times. But he did it. Something he didn't feel like doing. I mean, people commonly say, well, I prayed about whether God wants me to do X. And I prayed about it, and I don't feel like doing it, so I'm sure that's God's will. And so, since when does feelings have to feeling schmeelings? Jesus didn't feel like dying, did he? Well, see, I prayed, and I still don't feel like doing it because it's not God's will for me because I don't feel like doing it. Since when does feelings have to do with anything? Jesus didn't feel like dying, but he did. A little baby crying 3 a.m. And the husband says to the wife, it's your turn. No, it's your turn. Do they feel like getting out of bed? But they do it because they love the child. He goes on to say that each time we renounce our will out of love for someone else, we open ourselves to the grace of the Holy Spirit. He points out that there's a desert father who says that if you obey God, God will obey you. So it boils down to accepting in our lives things that are good and bad. Accepting things in our life, regardless if they're good or bad. He says that God gives a spirit to those who are resolute in obeying him. God refuses nothing to those who refuse him nothing. Now, we have to take that sentence in context because, again, Jesus, he didn't feel like dying on the cross, but he, not my will, but yours be done. And the Virgin Mary said to St. Bernadette, I can't promise you happiness in this world, but I can in the next. God never promises to take our crosses from us. He promises to help us carry our crosses. But remember, we get to offer our crosses up to help save souls. And frankly, as I said yesterday, that's one of the reasons I'm a priest, is because a religious sister I'm related to offered up her metastatic bone pain from her breast cancer for me. She rejoiced in her suffering for my sake. She made up what was missing in the suffering of Christ for the sake of the church. Now, I wrote this scripture passage down that further illustrates this point. At the end of John's Gospel, chapter 20, verse 21, verse 18, Jesus said to Peter, "Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you girded yourself and walked where you would, but when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish to go." And he was predicting how Peter was going to be crucified too. And I can just see him thinking, "I'm not worthy to be crucified like you. Turn me upside down." And the statistic, and they did that. He was crucified upside down. Now, the next characteristic flows naturally from this, I believe. It's living in the present moment. Father Philippe says, the more we are in the present, neither looking back nor anticipating what's to come, the more we are in touch with the real, with God, with interior resources that empower us to face up to living in the here and the now. He says the more receptive we are to the work of grace will help us not have sterile regrets to ruminate over the past and worry about the future. All those things cut us off from grace. If we entrust the past to the mercy of God and trust the future to His providence, doing just what is required of us today, so much more we dispose ourselves to receive the grace we need day by day. And I love to tell people this. Don't worry about the past. Leave that to God's mercy. In the sacrament of confession, when you confess sins, they're gone. There's a famous story of a priest who had a spiritual directee who was supposedly having visions and messages from Jesus Christ. And this priest wanted to know if it was legit or not, and so asked this person, he said, "Yeah, I'm going to confession this afternoon, and so tonight when he appears to you, if he appears to you, ask him what my sins were." "Okay." So this person asked Jesus what this priest's sins were, and Jesus said, "I forgot." So he knew it was legitimate. God crumples up our sins. He throws them behind his back and they're gone. They're gone. So don't worry about the past. Leave that to God's mercy, the infinite ocean of mercy. And don't worry about the future either. Leave that to God's providence. I mean, sure, we have to look to the future, but don't worry about the future. Leave it to God's providence. We might not be alive tomorrow, frankly. I might have a heart attack tonight. Where's Kubat? He was supposed to have exposition. I'm in, and you know, I'm dead. And then they got to clean the room up. And you know, there was a priest who I know, he's dead now. Some guy came in with a gun and was going to shoot him in his office. And he just wanted to see Father squirm. He points a gun at him, and this priest says, "Hey, you mind taking this outside? It's going to be a mess, and I feel sorry for the cleanup lady. It'll be kind of a mess. Will you mind if we just take this outside? We could just hose off the sidewalk." And this guy, what? He puts a gun down, and the guy brings him into the church. So I don't know if I'm going to be here tomorrow. Don't worry about tomorrow. Just concern yourself with today and God's grace. And so that's another characteristic. Now, we're going to have exposition all night, and I'm very happy that everyone, at least everyone, did everyone sign up? So, I mean, there can be more than one person. And so God, He will bless you for making an hour tonight. And He'll console you that only with the consolation only He can do. Remember, God the Father created your souls and the matter that makes your body out of nothing through His Word, His Son, made flesh here in the Holy Spirit. And God the Father, through His Son, will send you the Holy Spirit tonight during this holy hour. And then we'll finish off things tomorrow morning. And you'll go home with that wineskin of your soul, your heart expanded with grace. to do a number of things. One, tell people what God has done for you. Talk about this retreat center. It's a jewel of the diocese. It's an awesome. I remember I did my first retreat here. I was sitting right where you're sitting. And I said to myself, why didn't I do this when I was younger? And so tell people about this place. It'd be good to do a retreat like this every year, once a year, right? It's like getting that battery recharged. And I'm just an instrument. If anything good comes from this weekend, it's not me. I'm just a miserable instrument. But he loves and died for miserable instruments. And so he wants you to spread the gospel. Don't hide this gift that he's given you, this light of faith under a bushel basket. He wants it to be set on a pedestal to shine forth. He wants to use you to bring others to Jesus Christ. Because that's one of the things that's going to come up in judgment. Did you spread this gift of faith I gave you? I mean, that's part of I gave you so many gifts and you just didn't use them. And so there's many ways to spread the faith. There was a really great story of a guy who mixed marriage, and he was not Catholic. He marries this Catholic woman. He had no interest in the faith. So he goes on vacation with his wife in Minnesota. And she decides to get up early to go to Mass. And he's thinking, why would you get up early to go to Mass when you're on vacation? You only do that to go fishing or golfing. Mass? Are you kidding me? So she gets up, you know, and when you're sleeping in the same bed and bedroom and somebody gets up, you wake up the spouse. So he's up. He couldn't fall back asleep to decide, I'm going for a jog. So he just immediately starts running down the highway. And so she gets ready and she's driving down the highway. And for some odd reason, he's this in shape guy and he's dogging it and she's kind of walking it. So she pulls over. Get in. So he gets in, gets to Mass, and he sees all these people here and thinks again, these idiots. You only get up for golf and fishing when you're on vacation, not church. And this one guy has no idea what he did. After he received communion, he got back to his pew and he buried his head in his hands to make a thanksgiving. Now see, the Holy Spirit was hovering over the waters of that congregation. And this guy said to himself, because his wife's saying, hey, you know, when you receive communion, it's really the body of Christ. You know, a prophet is not without honor except in his own family, his own country, and his, you know, what are you, nuts? I'm not going to listen to you. And he sees this guy like this. And he says to himself, wow. There must be something to this. And this guy opened the door to his heart. And the Holy Spirit flooded in and he had Catholic faith. So just the joy of what you do is going to draw people to the faith. And you won't even know it until you get to heaven. Sacred Heart of Jesus, have mercy on us. Immaculate Heart of Mary, pray for us. Amen.